Morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is daf beis. Welcome to the new masechta. We are starting today a new masechta in Seder Nezikin. So far we've done the Babas, Baba Kama, Mitzvah, and Basra, and masechta Sanhedrin and Makkah. So those are the big masechtas that we've been covering. And now from this point going forward, so we're doing the smaller masechta. So I say smaller, I mean in terms of prakim. And again, I told you this already once before. I learned this from Rabbi Kornfeld. The order of the masechtas follow the size of the prakim. The larger parakim masechtas come in the front, and the smallest towards the end. You're going to find this in all the sedarim. So so over here we are starting up masechta Shavuos, and Shavuos seemingly doesn't belong here in this seder. We're going to talk today all about kachim, right? That will be our topic for today. So you see the first mishnah. You're going to hear the first daf today, and you're going to think that this belongs in seder kachim. This doesn't belong in seder nezikin. Nezikin have to deal with damages. And all the responsibility and liability that a person has when he damages others or other people's properties, the judicial system, the judicial process, corporal punishment, those have been the topics of discussion that we discussed in Seder Nezikin. And over here now we're talking about making an oath, making a shvuah. So what is it doing over here? So it's a fair question, and obviously there's some answer, but most probably the. The placement of shavuos over here in Seder Nezikin has to do with the fact that a number of shavuos are done in court, right? There are a number of shavuos that are associated with monetary claims. I'll just throw out a couple of simple examples. Let's say there's a toan and a nitan. Let's say there are two claimants, and of the two claimants, so one of them, the toan, is able to produce one witness, Eid Echad. So under those circumstances, now you're going to go to court, and you're going to make a shavuah in court. So that's one example. Second example, mod b'miksas. Well, let's say somebody makes a claim against you, and your counterclaim is, you're right, I do owe you part of the obligation, not the full obligation. So that's shavuah mod b'miksas. That's also going to be done in court as well. Shomrim, shavuah shomrim. Let's say I'm a custodian, and I don't have the item anymore. And under certain circumstances, you can make a shavuah to pater yourself, from exempt yourself from having to pay. So that's going to be done in court as well. So there are a number of monetary shavuos that are done in the courtroom. And so perhaps that's one of the reasons why this masechta finds itself in Seder Nezikin, this Seder. But a good part of this masechta is not going to be talking about anything having to do with Nezik. In fact, in the course of today, all you're going to hear about is Karbanos. Not all. Mostly what you're going to hear about is Karbanos today. And you could have made the argument that this should go in Seder Kachim. Similarly, just to throw out one other idea. Similarly, by like Pesachim, for example, the Masechta Pesachim, so it's in Seder Moed. Of the 10 Perakim of Seder Pesachim, 5 of them have to do with Karban Pesach. In other words, half the Masechta in terms of Perakim have to do with the Karban. So again, you can make an argument that belongs in Kachim, doesn't belong in Moed. But again, the counter argument obviously is, and this is how Rabbi Yehuda Nasi felt, is that no. In other words, it's yes, a lot of it has to do with the Karban, but it has to do with the Yontif of Pesach, therefore it belongs there. So Shavuos also, in a similar vein, even though there are parts of Shavuos that don't belong in Seder Nezikin, but the Masechta comes along for the ride. Okay, in the opening mission, which we're starting right now, so we're going to be talking about various areas in the Torah, 4 categories in the Torah, nothing to do with one having nothing to do with the other, really dissimilar topics, but because they have the same sing-song of Shtayim Shein Arba, so therefore these 4 halachas are going to get lumped together. Let's begin the Masechta. Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. So when it comes to shavuos, there are 2 shavuos, which really are 4 shavuos. Okay, this language of Shtayim Shein Arba basically means the same thing every time. It means as follows. In the Torah, you're going to find 2 occasions where the Torah prohibits it, and then through drushas, so there's going to be another 2 occasions where the Torah prohibits it as well. So in other words, it's almost like avos toladas. In fact, I use that terminology because I know what's coming up in the Mishnah. So there are 2 main categories, meaning 2 main categories mentioned in the Torah, and then the subcategories, which are not clearly mentioned in the Torah, but learned out through drasha, but are also going to be Torah concepts. So the first topic of the discussion in the Masechta is the Shavuah. Now, there are many different types of Shavuah. Right now, we're limiting our comments to only Shavuah's Bitui. Shavuah's Bitui is where a person makes a Shavuah that he's going to do something or not do something. The classic example, which Rashi over here points out, is I'm making an oath that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread, or I'm making an oath that I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. And these 2 forms of shvuah are both mentioned in the Torah. The Torah says lahara o lehitiv, that I'm going to do something bad or good. Bad good over here does not mean bad doesn't mean something wrong. Bad just simply means not doing something. Lehitiv means I will do something. So the Torah describes it belashon asid in the future tense, and then as the Gemara is going to teach us, what are the two other permutations where it's where the shvuah becomes a shvuah, and that's going to be in the past, meaning that if I make a shvuah that I did do something or I didn't do something, those are also going to be shvuos bitui, and they're also learned out, not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, but learned out through drashas, and that's the shtaim shein arba. So there are two shvuos bitui that are mentioned in the Torah, that's I will or I won't, versus two others that are learned out through drasha, I did or I didn't. Okay, next topic in the Mishnah, yediyah satuma, shtaim shein arba. So the yediyah satuma, the knowledge of one being tameh, when a person's tameh. So what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? Not a lot. If you're a Kohen, so it does mean a lot because as a Kohen you're eating Truma, and you can only eat Truma in a state of Tahara. You can't eat Truma in a state of Tumah. But for Yisraelim, in other words, if you and I become Tameh, I say you and I mean, us Yisraelim. So if you and I become Tameh, so what does it mean on a day-to-day basis? Not a whole lot. And there's no Avera per se to be Tameh. Obviously, Tumah Tahara, there's a general idea that we want to be in a state of Tahara, but from a consequence standpoint, that doesn't really affect us. However, if we want to go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the areas of the Beis HaMikdash, we have to be in a state of Tahara. If we want to eat Karbanos, we have to be in a state of Tahara. So over here, now we're describing and discussing in the Mishnah this idea of being Tameh and going into the Beis HaMikdash, or being Tameh and eating Karbanos. If a person is Tameh knowingly, goes into the Beis HaMikdash, that is a serious Isser in the Torah. It's a lav sheish bo kares. It is a kares-bearing Isser. It's obviously very serious. What the Mishnah now is telling us is as follows. In the Torah, there are two permutations mentioned in which someone is going to be violating this Isser of Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. Now, you're going to keep hearing those words again and again over the course of today and throughout the beginning of this Masechta. Mikdash meaning going into the Beis HaMikdash while being Tameh. Kadashav meaning you ate carbon while you were in a state of Tumah. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah over here points out that Shtein Shein Arba, that when it comes to Yediyas HaTumah, there's two which becomes four. Two which becomes four meaning that there are two explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and there's going to be another two that's run out through Drush. What are the two that are explicitly mentioned in the Torah? If you are Tameh, and you then forget that you were Tameh, meaning you knew at one point that you were Tameh, so that knowledge that you were Tameh is what we call a Yediyah. Then you forgot you were Tameh. That is called a halama. You became unaware. And then you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Or you eat a karban while having forgotten that you were Tameh. So those are now two examples mentioned explicitly in the Torah. Then afterwards, you then had another yediya. You then became aware, oh no, I forgot that I was Tameh. And meanwhile, during my state of unawareness, my forgetting, I went into the Mikdash or I ate carbon. Under both circumstances now, so you have an opportunity for kapara. What is your kapara? So in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, at the end of the first Parsha of Vayikra, the end of that Parsha, so the Torah outlines that there is a special carbon chatas that is brought for such an individual who had a yediyah before and had a yediyah afterwards, behelam, helam being time and a state of unawareness in the middle, such an individual is going to have to bring a special carbon olav yored. Now, this is a carbon chatas. Why is it called carbon olav yored? Because this is a unique carbon in which your carbon chatas that you're going to bring is going to be dependent on your financial status. If you're an usher, and in terms of the actual thresholds of where to put you from an economic standpoint, so I don't remember the Gemara over here giving us actual either numbers or criteria, but so I just talk here in the abstract. If you're an usher, if you're a wealthy person, so you bring an animal carbon chatas. If you are an ani, so you bring a pair of birds, one being a chatas, the other being an ola. And if you're an ani sheba ani, if you are significantly poor, so then you bring a carbon mincha, obviously being the cheapest of the carbonos. So here the Torah actually gives a fluctuation of which kind of carbon chatas you're going to bring based on your economic status. That's why it's called carbon ola v'yored. Up, down, meaning that it actually will fluctuate based on your economic status. So here the Mishnah is introducing us to this idea that if I either went into the Beis HaMikdash Tameh or I ate carbon while Tameh and I had a yediyah before and I had a yediyah afterwards, so such a person is going to be eligible for bringing carbon chatas. That's shtayim. That's two. What are the other two? So Rashi over here points out the other two is as follows. Same thing. I had a yediyah before and a yediyah afterwards. Same principle. I had a halam in the middle, but by the halam of the what was the state of unawareness? I didn't realize. I knew I was tamei. I didn't realize this was the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning I'm walking over here forgetting that this is the Beis HaMikdash. Or I ate a carbon having forgotten that this is a carbon. Okay, so those are two other cases where you have a yediyah followed by halama, followed by yediyah. Those are two other cases where you're going to be eligible to bring a carbon olav yorei. Rashi also points out over here that the word yediyos, hatoma, is because in order to be eligible for this carbon chatas, you have to have two yediyos. One before and one afterwards. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayin Shein Arba. So when it comes to Yitzias HaShabbos, so two which becomes four. Meaning that one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is Hotza'ah. The last of the 39 malachas, the Mishnah in Shabbos, in the 7th Perek, goes through all 39 malachas on Shabbos. So of the 39, the 39th is Hotza'ah, taking an item and transferring it from one domain to another domain. In Shabbos, there are two recognized domains of the Torah, one being a Rishus Yachid, the other one being a Rishus Rabban. A Rishus Yachid is an area which is, I'm going to say it simply, circumscribed by four walls. Doesn't necessarily need a roof over your head, but an area circumscribed by four walls is a Rishus Yachid. A Rishus Rabban is a public street. I'm simplifying right now, just to bring out the basic idea. So when a person on Shabbos were to take an item and transfer from Rishus Yachid to a Rishus Rabban, from a private domain to a public domain, so that is the malacha of Hotzah, and one would be Chayiv. There are many details involved over here, and I say many. Masechta Shabbos is replete with the topic of Hotzah. I think, I'm pretty confident about this point, I think that is the most talked about topic in Masechta Shabbos. Meaning Masechta Shabbos, it's a long Masechta, but of the Masechta, I think page for page, line for line, probably Hotzah gets the most treatment in that Masechta. So right now, we don't have to dwell on this because the only reason why it's coming up in our Mishnah over here is because the Mishnah, you have the line of Shtayin Shein Arba when it comes to Hotzah, so therefore Shabbos over here comes in as well. So there are two cases that are mentioned in the Torah. What are the two cases mentioned in the Torah? Now I say mentioned in the Torah, it's not explicit in the Torah. Rashi over here goes to the Pesukim, but just to say simple Pshat in the Mishnah. The two cases mentioned in the Torah is on Hotza'ah, taking an item from a private domain to a public domain. Basically, the two cases are push and pull. What do I mean by that? So in other words, when you have the way the Mishnah sets up the scenario, you have two people standing, one inside the house, the other outside the house. The person in the house is the Baal Bais, the person outside the house is the Ani. So the Baal Bais is in the Rishus HaYachid, the Ani is in the Rishus HaRabim. The Baal Bais takes an item and extends his hand out and deposits it into the hand of the Ani. That's one form of Otsah. Another form of Otsah is where the Ani takes his hand in, picks up the item from the Baal Bais, and brings it out. So it's a push and it's a pull, but they're both going from the interior to the exterior, from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. Those are two cases of Otsah. What are the additional two cases of Otsah? So that's going to be Hachnasa, when you're going from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYachid. And again, what are those two cases? Again, push and pull, where either the Ani takes the item and brings it into the house, or the Baal Bais extends his arm out, picks up the item from the Ani, and brings it into the house. That's Shtayin Shein Arba when it comes to Otsah. And finally, the last case of the Mishnah is Maris Negayim. So when it comes to Tzara'as, there are shades of white that are going to make a person tame. Shnayim Shein Arba. Two of these shades are mentioned in the Torah, Se'es and Sapachas. And of those two shades, there are now, each one of them has a sub-shade. And so that is two, which is four. Two, which is explicitly mentioned in the Torah. And another two shades also, which are going to make a person a mitzora. Okay, so those are the four cases of the Mishnah. And again, the reason why the Mishnah lumps these cases together is because each one has the opportunity to say Shtayim Shein Arba. Two which are explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and two which are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, but still are Aser Min HaTorah. Okay, Aser is not the right word. Okay, because it's not all Iser V'Heter, right? Some of it's Tumah.
They're rabbinic, right? They're not rabbinically.
No, Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah. Hachnasa is an Iser Min HaTorah. To the two derivatives are also Aser Min HaTorah, just not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Okay. And now, for the balance of this Mishnah, here's what we're going to be describing and detailing. We're going to be talking about Yediyas HaTuma. Okay, so again, so all we're going to hear today are topics of Kachim and Tuma. That's all we're going to hear for the course of today. Because again, our Mishnah now, having brought in these four cases, is going to now explore these cases. Rashi points out over here, we're not going to be talking about Shabbos. Shabbos has its own Masechta. Actually, Shabbos has two Masechtas dedicated to the topic of Otzah. It's Shabbos and then it's Erevin. Erevin is also about Otzah. And in terms of Tzara'as, again, there's another Masechta dedicated to the topic of Tzara'as. So of the four topics over here, two of them are going to be unexplored. The two explored topics of our Mishnah are going to be the Shavuos Bitui, which we're going to be discussing, but that is only going to be discussed at a later point in time. And right now we're discussing Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. This idea that either I enter into the base of Mikdash while being unaware of my Tumah, or I eat Karban while being unaware of my Tumah. I had a Yediyah before, I had a Yediyah afterwards. So the Mishnah taught us that for such an individual, he's eligible to bring the Karban Ola V'Yorin, special Karban Chatas. Continues the Mishnah. So number one, like I just described, where you were aware of your tumah beforehand, you became aware of your tumah afterwards, and in between, you had a halama. You went into a state of forgetfulness. And during your state of forgetfulness, you then either went into the Beis HaMikdash or you ate karban. So now this is a classic scenario where you're now eligible to bring the special karban Ola V'Yorei, as I described earlier. So let's say the case now goes like this. Let's say you knew about your tumah beforehand. You then go lapse into unawareness and into a state of forgetfulness. You go either into the Beis HaMikdash or you eat karban, and then you don't have yediyah b'sof. And then you didn't remember. Now, obviously, if you don't remember, so you're obviously not going to attend to it because you have walked into the Beis HaMikdash, but you forgot, and you're continuing right now to forget that at one point in time you were tumah and you never cleared up that tumah. So now what the Mishnah is going to be describing is what is going to be the remedy. Now, I say remedy over here, it's not really a remedy because you didn't remember again, but what at least is going to provide you some form of hagana, some sort of protection. The Mishnah describes here, Nasa Bifnim V'Yom HaKippurim Tola, Ashi Odeh Lo V'Yaviba Ola V'Yorin. So, what will happen is that you will hit Yom Kippur, it happens annually, and with Yom Kippur, there's going to be a goat that's brought. There are three seirim that are brought on Yom Kippur. I'm going to explain each one of them in just a moment. So, but with Yom Kippur and with the seir anase bifnim, the interior seir on Yom Kippur, so together coupled with Yom Kippur in of itself, so all this is going to provide a temporary kapara. Temporary kapara, Rashi says it's going to be megan al yisurin. It'll protect you from any yisurim that's going to come. And then if and when you do remember that you were Tameh, so then you will be eligible to bring a Karban Ola V'Yorin, but at least Yom Kippur will be a stopgap measure protecting you from any Yisurim. Let's just go over Yom Kippur. This is important for our Mishnah. Go over Yom Kippur and the three Seirim that are brought in Yom Kippur. On every Yom Kippur, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, three Seirim were brought. The two of them which we're most familiar with is the ones mentioned in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and that's the Seir HaMashalech and the Seir Bifnim. Two identical goats were set up in front of the Kohen Gadol. There would be a Goral, there would be a lottery, determining which goat was going to be assigned which task. The goat that's LaHashem, so that goat is going to be shechted, and the blood of that goat is going to be sprinkled into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, every Yom Kippur, we have piyutim about this event, and it's in all this to be found in Acharei Mos. So the Seir Anase Bifnim is one Seir brought in Yom Kippur. Second Seir, obviously, is going to be its twin, which is La'azazel. So that Seir is going to be sent off a cliff and sent to its death off the cliff. And finally, there's a third Seir on Yom Kippur, and that is mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, you have all the Musafim of Yom Kippur. One of the Karbanos, Karban Musaf that is born Yom Kippur, is going to be the Seir Lachatas. So there are three atoning Seirim that are brought on Yom Kippur. one bifnim, one lazazel, and one as a carbon chatas, the normal carbon chatas that's offered on the outer mizbech. We're going to call this from this point going forward the seir b'chutz, the goat that's offered on the outside, meaning on the exterior mizbech, as opposed to the seir bifnim, where its blood is going to be sprinkled in the Kodesh Kodashim, on the Peroches, and on the Mizbech HaPnimi, on the interior Mizbech, that's in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, what the Mishnah is telling us is that what is tending to the Chumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, where you had a Yediyah beforehand, you then lapse into forgetfulness, you then don't discover that you were Tummy, you don't yet remember, so the Mishnah told us that's the Seir HaNaseh B'Fnim. That is providing temporary kapara until you discover that you're tummy. Continuing in the Mishnah. Ein ba yediyah betchila aval yeshla ba yediyah besof. Let's say you didn't know to begin with that you were tummy. You walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and then after walking into the Beis HaMikdash, now you had a discovery. And this discovery is, oh no, I was tummy. Right? But in other words, there was no yediyah beforehand. So seir naaseh b'chutz v'yom ha-kippurim mechaper. Shenemra mavad chatas ha-kippurim. So the outer seir of Yom Kippur is going to tend to that. Meaning that the outer seir of Yom Kippur is going to be nearly identical to the inner seir of Yom Kippur. Ma panimi ein mechaper al adav sheish bo yidia, af achitzon ein mechaper al adav sheish bo yidia. Just like the interior seir is going to be providing a kapara for someone who has one yidia, so too is the outer mizbech, the outer seir that's offered on the outer mizbech, going to be providing a kapara for one yediyah. They're just going to be the mirror images of one another. The inner seir is going to be providing temporary kapara for yediyah before, but not yediyah afterwards. And the outer mizbech is going to be providing kapara for somebody who did not have a yediyah before, but had a yediyah afterwards. Va'al she'im ba yediyah lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof. Now, let's say you had no yediyah whatsoever. Now again, if you had no yediyah whatsoever, so you don't even know that you need any form of kapara. But you do. In other words, in a state of shogeg, you went into the Beis HaMikdash while tameh. You just didn't know you were tameh afterwards, and you never learned about your tameh. I'm sorry. You didn't know about your tameh beforehand, and you didn't learn about it afterwards. But still, you walked into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tameh. So what's providing a kapara for that? Sirei harigalim v'sirei roshei chadashim mechapim divrei Rav Yehuda. So according to Rav Yehuda, the seir of either Rosh Chodesh or Yontov, whichever comes first, is going to be providing the kapara. Every Rosh Chodesh we bring a seir l'chatas. Every Yontov we bring a seir l'chatas. So whichever one hits first from the occasion that you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, that seir is going to be providing kapara for a violation of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav, but with zero yediyah. Not yediyah before and not yediyah afterwards. Yeah, but the seer in Yom Kippur is providing kapara for a yediyah. Here we're talking, the Mishnah is describing no yediyah, not before, not after.
When does he ever find out?
So he may never find out. Right. In other words, and he still needs a kapara. So the seer of Rosh Chodesh or the seer of Yontev is going to be mechaper. Okay, so now before we go, there are going to be in the Mishnah now two more opinions being mentioned in the Mishnah regarding the function of the Seir Yontav and the Seir Rosh Chodesh. Let's just lay this out. Basically, what we're looking at together right now are four different Seirim. We're looking at the Seir that's brought every Rosh Chodesh. We're looking at the Seir that's brought every Yontav. That's part of the Musaf for every Yontav. We're looking at the Seir of Yom Kippur, and on Yom Kippur there are, I'd say two, there really are three Seirim, but the Seir Lazazel, let's put that on the back burner for now. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. On Yom Kippur, there are two seirim that are offered on the Mizbeach. One, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's the seir Shebifnim, and one that's offered on the Chitzon, on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that's the seir Shebichutz. So there are really four seirim in our discussion now. Rosh Chodesh, Yontev, seir Shebifnim, and seir Shebichutz. And now what the Mishnah over here is going to be describing is, what is the purpose of these various seirim? So we already just went through the opinion of Rav Yehuda, but just to reiterate, according to Rav Yehuda, the Seir Bifnim is for a violation of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, but when you had the Yediyah beforehand and not after. The Seir Shebichutz is where you had a Yediyah afterwards but not beforehand. And then the Seir of both Rosh Chodesh and of Yontav is going to be where you violated Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, but she didn't have yediyah neither before nor after. Rabbi Shimon omer siri regalim mechapim, aval lo siri rosh chadashim. So Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that the seer of Yontif provides a kapara, but not the seer of Rosh Chodesh. So in other words, when you violate Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav, so the only thing, and you have no Yediya, neither before nor after, so the only thing that's going to be providing a kapara is going to be the seer of Yontif. So you have to wait for the Yontif to come around in order for you to have a kapara. Now you're not waiting because you never knew. You didn't know before, you didn't know afterwards. So the word waiting is perhaps not the best word to describe it. But when you get to Yontif, that's going to provide the kapara. Fine. So now according to Rabbi Shimon, what is the purpose of this year Rosh Chodesh? If it's not providing a kapara for that, what is it providing a kapara for? It's got to be providing a kapara for something. It is a karban chatos. So v'amasir Rosh Chodesh mechaprim. So the Gemara asks, the Mishnah asks exactly that question. Al hatar she'achal asatame. So it's being mechaper for a different type of violation of tumah, and that is where you're not tame, you're tahor, and you eat carbon that was tame. Eating carbon that's tame while you're in a state of tahara is an issur in the Torah, but not as severe as being tame going to the Beis HaMikdash or being tame and eating carbonos. Being tame going to the Beis HaMikdash or eating carbonos is a serious issur in the Torah. In fact, it's one of the issur ikaris. It's one of the 34 issur ikaris. While you're tahor and you eat carbon that's tame, it's a lav shebetorah, it's an issur in the Torah, but it doesn't bring about an issur karis. It is interesting because, generally speaking, we normally think how the karban chatos is providing a kapara, but only for those types of issurim that are issur karis. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, the seir that's brought in Rosh Chodesh is being mechaper for a lower level issur, meaning you're tahor and you ate karban which was tamei. So that's, I say lower level, I mean it's not an issur karis, and yet the seir in Rosh Chodesh is providing a kapara for that. According to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. And now finally in the Mishnah, so we saw the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we saw the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, there's one more Shita. There's really not one more, there's really two more coming up, but the fourth Shita is really a variant Rabbi Shimon. So in terms of categorizing, I think it's easier just to think of it as three Shitas. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Asirim Kaparasam Shava, Al Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. And Rabbi Meir says that every one of the Asirim are operating on a level playing field, providing the same type of kapara. Whether you had a yediyah b'tchila, whether you had a yediyah at the end, whether you had no yediyah whatsoever, each one of the se'irim, Rosh Chodesh, Yontif, Yom Kippur, is going to be providing a kapara for any of these violations of tumah that happen in the interim, meaning between these karbanos that are actually brought. The only time that there's going to be an exceptional karban that's brought, according to a mayor, is when you had yediyah b'tchila and you had yediyah b'sof. Once you had yediyah b'tchila b'sof, now the regular karban olav yorid is going to kick in. You have to bring your own personalized, individualized karban chatzos, meaning the karban olav yorid. But if it's either tumah b'tchila not b'sof, or if it's yediyah b'sof not b'tchila, or there's no yediyah whatsoever, so every one of these karban chatzos is going to be providing the necessary kapara in order to protect the individual. So that is Shitas Rav Meir. Now, here's what the Mishnah is going to do. Okay. Hayyar Rabbi Shimon Omer. We are on Beis Amud Beis. We are three lines from the top. And so, we're going to revisit the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So right now, just to say it succinctly, or to say it organized, we have in our Mishnah three opinions in terms of what the function of all those various karban chatzos that are brought on Rosh Chodesh, on Yontif, and on Yom Kippur. And so the three opinions are Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon sees differentiation between these types of karbanos, and Rabbi Meir sees no differentiation between these types of karbanos. What the Gemara is going to do is it's going to revisit the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is the most extreme in that each one tends to its own kapara. Meaning the seer of Yom Kippur Bifnim doesn't provide the same kapara as the seer of Shebechutz, which does not provide the same kapara as the seer on Yom Tov, which does not provide the same kapara as the seer of Rosh Chodesh. So according to Rabbi Shimon, where you have the most differentiation amongst these karbanos, the Gemara is going to present repeat the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and then the Gemara is going to ask a question, and the Mishnah is going to answer. See all this inside. So just repeating the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, and again, once it's repeated in this manner, you see clearly that Rabbi Shimon has obviously a differentiated viewpoint of every one of these carbonos. Amru lo. So now they say to him, now even though the Gemara says Amru, they say to him, Rashi says it's Rav Meir. Because Rav Meir on the other side of this discussion, of this debate, has every one of these carbonos being the same. Functionally the same. So now Rabbi Meir asks the following question to Rabbi Shimon. Imagine now the following scenario. Rosh Chodesh comes and we're setting up now our carbonos for Rosh Chodesh, and we know that for Rosh Chodesh, one of the carbonos we need is the carbon chatas. Okay. And now, just a day before Rosh Chodesh, I'm being a little bit dramatic over here, a day before Rosh Chodesh, so we lost our carbon musaf that we were setting aside for Rosh Chodesh. We already set aside as the carbon chatas. So we set aside for Rosh Chodesh and we lost it. Okay? We lost it. It had a tag on it. We knew it was there for Rosh Chodesh and it was lost. So obviously, with Rosh Chodesh coming up, we know that we're going to have to bring a carbon chatas. So we set aside another carbon chatas for this Rosh Chodesh and we bring in the substitute carbon chatas for this Rosh Chodesh. Great. Then, just give me a moment. Then what happens is that we discover, we find the lost carbon chatas for this Rosh Chodesh. Rav Meir says to Rabbi Shimon, let me ask you a question. Now, let's imagine that the next occasion that comes along is not the next Rosh Chodesh, but let's say there's Yantav coming up. According to you, Rabbi Shimon, would I be allowed now to take this Chatas, which was designated for this Rosh Chodesh, and apply it towards Yantav? Now, Rabbi Shimon's answer is going to be yes. And Rabbi Meir basically sets him up for a trap. Meaning, and Rabbi Shimon, if your answer is going to be yes, so then I don't understand. You look at each one of these carbonos as serving as a different function from one the other, providing kapara for different types of tumas mikdash v'kadashav. So how can you, Rabbi Shimon, allow a carbon that was set aside for Rosh Chodesh to now be used for another Rosh Chodesh, I can hear, but a Yantav or a Yom Kippur? How can this be used as another form of a carbon chatas when, according to you, they serve as different functions? Now, Rameir says, now, according to me, it'd be fine, because functionally, they're all the same. So for me, I would have no problem taking a carbon that was set aside for Rosh Chodesh, a carbon chatas that's set aside for Rosh Chodesh, and using it for a Yantav, or using it for Yom Kippur. So I'm good. But for you, obviously, it presents a problem.
Aren't the korbanot set aside 4 days prior to the offering, so they just watch it and check it out?
Yeah. The likelihood of this happening? I don't know. But we're not describing the likelihood. We're really more talking about the
theoretical.
The abstract, the theoretical.
How do you know Rabbi Shimon would say yes?
He's going to say yes in the Mishnah. So, in other words, this obviously was a point that was already discussed. And so, he sets him up. Because he knows the answer that's coming. Amrlo mash yikruvu zebezeh, amrlo ham yikruvu. So Rabbi Shimon's answer is, that's fine. So Amru lo, hov ein kaparasim shava hech preven zebezeh. So Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Shimon, but you don't feel that they are providing the same type of kapara. So how can you just simply take a carbon chatas set aside for Rosh Chodesh and give it to Yantav? Or conversely, how can you take a carbon that was set aside for Yantav, lost, replaced, and then you find the lost one and offer in Rosh Chodesh? How does all that happen? Amalam kulam baim lechaper tumas mikdash v'kadashav. And Rabbi Shimon says, basically, spare me the details. Spare me. Meaning, you're right. I do differentiate. One is providing a kapara with no yidia. One is providing a kapara for a yidia b'sof. One is providing a kapara for a yidia b'tchila. One is providing a kapara for eating tamei karbanos. They're different. But when we're talking about differences, we're talking about they're all still within the world of tumas mikdash v'kadashav. You violated the tumah of the kedushas based on mikdash. You violated the tumah of a carbon. It's all categorically basically the same. Yes, I do differentiate, but they're still basically the same genre. It allows me to be able to move it from Rosh Chodesh over to Yantav, over to Yom Kippur. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishmo. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in his name over here being Rabbi Shimon. Now, as I mentioned, there are three opinions in the Mishnah. Here is really the fourth opinion in the Mishnah, but it's really just a variation of Rabbi Shimon. So in other words, this is Rabbi Shimon, this would be in our Mishnah 3b, meaning the A of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, the B in the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, 2b, sorry. The A in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, B in the Mishnah, one is Rabbi Yehuda, two is Rabbi Shimon, three is Rabbi Meir, right? And so this is now Rabbi Shimon prime, if you will. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Siri, Rabbi Shchadesh, Mechapim, Malatar, Sheachol, Achol, Asatame. So here in this varied version of Rabbi Shimon, it's going to sound very similar, but there's one difference. For Rosh Chodesh, the Karmen Chatos was born. Rosh Chodesh is providing a kapara for Tosha Achos Tameh. A person, while in a state of Tahara, eating carbon that's Tameh. You forgot. You either forgot or didn't know that it was Tameh. Okay. And as we already reported, this is not an Issur Kares. It's a lav in the Torah, but it's not an Issur Kares. And so for this lower level violation of Tumah, Rosh Chodesh will take care of that. Most of Olam shall regal it. So now here, the chatas of Rosh Chodesh, according to Rabbi Shimon, in this variant version of Rosh Chodesh, is that plus, meaning that each higher level carbon chatas is already going to incorporate what the lower level is going to be providing for kapara for, plus in addition. So most of Aleim shall regam shem mechaper maltar shachos esatame va'al she'im ba yidia lo betchila v'lo besof. So that's providing a kapara for where you did not have a yidia neither in the beginning nor in the end, in addition to a tahor eating tameh. Most of Aleim shall yom kippurim she'im mechaper maltar shachos esatame va'al she'im ba yidia lo betchila v'lo besof v'al she'im ba yidia betchila aval yesh ba yidia besof. And then the Seir and Yom Kippur is providing all the above plus whether there was a yediyah at the end, but not in the beginning. Okay, so in this variant form of Rabbi Shimon, right, said over by Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So now, yes, they're differentiated, but it's not to the same degree as we had previously. Previously, each one of them really represented its own independent kapara. Here, it's each one of them is just adding, being mosif on what the one on one below it. So Amru Lo, and the rest of the Mishnah. Now the rest of this section of the Mishnah is going to be identical because we could still ask the same question that we asked previously. Amru Lo, Mashi Kruvu Yikruvu Zebezeh. Can I defer a carbon from one to the next? Meaning again, same scenario. I had it set aside for Yontif. I now lost it, replaced it. Found the lost one, can I bring it on now in Rosh Chodesh? Amar lehen hein. His answer is yes, you can. Amar lo im kein yushal Yom Kippur and kraven b'Roshei Chadashim. So that means now that the Yom Kippur Seir can be brought on Rosh Chodesh. Aval hech shal Roshei Chadashim kraven b'Yom Kippurim lechaper kapar she'en ashala. Now here in this variant version of Rabbi Shimon, there is going to be a subtle difference in the way the question is expressed. Because remember now in this variant version, each one of them is providing a kapara plus an additional one. So in other words, you can have the one that was set aside for Yom Kippur being offered on Rosh Chodesh. Because the one that was set aside for Yom Kippur is providing kapara for all the lower level tumas plus an addition. So take that one and to apply it to Rosh Chodesh that I understand. Because yesh bechlal manem asayim. Because it has in it not only the larger kapara, but even the smaller kaparas as well. So you want to defer to Rosh Chodesh that I can hear. But to take a Rosh Chodesh, aval hech shel Rosh Chodesh kraven b'Yom Kippurim, l'chaper kapar she'en ashalah. But to take the Rosh Chodesh chatas, which only covers a small amount of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav, and to then to defer to Yom Kippur, that I have a hard time hearing. Amalem kulam b'am l'chaper Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav. And again, Rabbi Shimon's answer over here, even this variant version, is going to be the same answer. Spare me the details. Meaning it's all providing kapara for Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav, yes, they are not all the same, exactly the same, but because of that, because they share the same common denominator, it allows a deferment of one carbon chatos to another. Yes. Yeah.
How can you use it for anything else?
Because a certain thing that's set aside for is carbon chatos, and I'm using it for a carbon chatos.
In mind for Rosh Chodesh.
Okay, so it doesn't... Right, so clearly what we're learning right now is that even though you weren't able to bring it this Rosh Chodesh, but you're eligible to bring it the next Rosh Chodesh. Meaning that its designation was for Rosh Chodesh, and apparently it seems pretty clear from this whole discussion, it doesn't have to be for this particular Rosh Chodesh. Now, four, intentional violation of Mikdash V'Kadashav. Now, when we say intentional, let's keep this in mind. If there were Edom and there was a Sra, so this is an Isser Karis. And Malkus, so, yeah, right, there would be Malkus. And if Malkus is given, so then the Karis is going to be expunged. We just discussed at the end of Masech the Malkus. But let's say there were no Edom, there was no Asra. So, Al Zadon Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Sir Anase Bifnim, V'Yom HaKippurim Mechaprim. So here, you have the Sir on Yom Kippur, the interior Sir on Yom Kippur, the one whose blood is going to be sprinkled on the Kodesh HaKadashim, on the Parochis, on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. So that is going to, that coupled together with Yom Kippur, is going to be providing the Kapara, even for Zadon, even for intentional. I think we can add the Tshuva as well, although the end of Masechta Yuma, we discuss extensively over there whether or not Tshuva becomes a necessary ingredient in order for Yom Kippur to provide the Kapara. Okay. Al Shar Averos. Okay, so now, we have covered extensively in this Mishnah all the various scenarios of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. You had a Yediyah before, you had a Yediyah afterwards. You had no Yediyah before, but afterwards. You had a Yediyah afterwards, but not before. You had no Yediyah whatsoever. You were in a state of Tahara, you ate carbon that was tummy. So a number of different permutations of violating Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Now, what about all the other Averos in the Torah? Al Shar Averos B'Torah HaKos V'Chamuros. For all other Averos, the light ones and the heavy ones, the Gemara is going to discuss what that means. Zdonos v'shkagos, done intentionally or unintentionally. Yehud, hoda v'lo hoda, you learned about it afterwards, you didn't learn about it afterwards. Ase v'lo sase, positive and negative prohibitions. Krisus umisus beizdin. The Isuri Krisus and the Isuri Mises beizdin. Now, Isuri Mises beizdin, if you have Edom, and there's Asra, and there's the entire due process, so obviously you're going to be put to death. If there's no Edom and there's no Hasra, and you did something which brings about an Isser Mises Beisdin, and you want Kapara, so Si'ir HaMishtaleach Mechaper. So for that you have the Si'ir HaMishtaleach, the goat that's going to be sent off the cliff, that's going to be providing the Kapara for all these other Averas. Echad Yisraelim V'Echad Kohanim V'Echad Kohen Mashuach. And this is going to be true for every segment of the Jewish population. Yisraelim, Kohanim, and even the Kohen Gadol. Ma ben Yisraelim Kohanim, Lekona Mashuach. Now we know that on Yom Kippur there is going to be a difference between the Yisraelim versus Kohanim. What's the difference? Elisha apar mechaper lekohanim al tumas mikdash v'kadashav. According to the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, the only difference between Yisraelim and Kohanim is tumas mikdash v'kadashav. Tumas mikdash v'kadashav, where we spent most of this Mishnah learning, is going to be the kapar is going to be provided by the various Seir Echatas, Rosh Chodesh, Yontif, and the Seir Yom Kippur, the one that's done, the one that's offered Bachutz. Now, according to the Tanakham of our Mishnah, that's only true for Yisraelim. Kohanim also need a Kapar for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav in the event that they violated the sanctity of either the Beis HaMikdash or Karbanos, but for the Kohanim, they have a different carbon that addresses that Kapara, notably the par. The bull that's offered on Yom Kippur, so that par, vidu, is done by the Kohanim, and according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that carbon, which is also a chatas, blood is also sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the Peroches and on the interior Mizbeach. That is only providing a kapara for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. The Shar Averos that are done by Kohanim, that's covered by the Seir HaMishtaleach, according to the Tanakhama. In other words, it's not being tummy which is the problem. It's being tummy and then violating the Beis HaMikdash or the Karbanos while in that state of tummy. Right. So that's the Avera, and what addresses that Avera, what's providing the Kapar for that Avera, is the Par of Yom Kippur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kishem Shadam Asir Nasa Bifnim Mechaper al Yisrael, Kach Dama Par Mechaper al Kohanim. Kishem Shavidiyav Shosir Mishalech Mechaper al Yisrael, Kach Vidiyav Shapar Mechaper al Kohanim. According to Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, the distinction between Kohen Yisrael is a much wider distinction. In that, just like the Seir Meshalech is providing kapara for all the sins of Yisraelim on Yom Kippur, the Par is providing kapara for all the sins of all the Kohanim on Yom Kippur. So according to Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, so the divide between Kohen Yisrael in terms of what's providing kapara is a much greater divide. Seir Meshalech providing kapara for Yisraelim, the Par of Yom Kippur providing kapara for all the Averis of the Kohanim. Okay. That was just a lot of information that was handed down in the Mishnah. With this, we conclude the first Mishnah of Shavuos, the first daf of Shavuos. Tomorrow we open it up with the Gemara. So again, just to recap, we spoke out Shtaim Shein Arba four times where you have this idea of two explicitly mentioned Isurim in the Torah, and then another two which are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah but learned out through Drashas, but also Asurim in the Torah. The topic of Shavua, topic of Tuma, of Shabbos, and of Negayim. Of those four topics, what's going to get coverage in our Masechta? Shavua, Shavuos Bitui, and Yediyas Tuma. And the other two have different Masechtas that address them. And then over the course of the rest of today, we went through the Mishnah, and the Mishnah outlined in detail what is the purpose of bringing a carbon for on Yom Kippur, the carbon Chatas, on Yom Kippur, on Yontiv, on Rosh Chodesh, each one providing a kapara for Tumas Mikdash for Kadasha. What specifically are they providing kapara for? Three-way machlokas in the Mishnah, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir. And then the Mishnah brought in a variant Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And then the Mishnah concluded with the other Karban Chatas that are brought on Yom Kippur providing a kapara for whom? A machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon in terms of what the other Karbanos, notably the Seir Meshalech and the Par Yom HaKippur, what are they providing kapara for on Yom Kippur?